Let's turn in our Bibles today, if you would please, to the book of Luke, chapter 18, if you would please. We are in Luke chapter 18. I'd like to begin reading for you at verse 9, if you would take your Bibles and read along with me. Luke chapter 18, verse 9, the Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, and smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this good day, this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you for all these folks who came out to be in your house today to sing your praises, to pray, to give, to worship, to hear, to learn, to grow. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would answer all the needs in this room today. I pray you'd comfort all the hearts and challenge all the lives. We thank you for those who watch online and listen on the radio. We pray for them as well. We just ask, my Father, that you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And Father, I do want to pray today. We have a heightened alert in the United States. Al-Qaeda has threatened a multi-city terrorist act in the near future. Could be today, could be tomorrow. I pray, my Father, you'd protect us. And I pray, Lord, you'd protect the funeral in Arizona. 200,000 of your people will gather there to remember Charlie Kirk. It'd be a good target for terrorists. I pray you'd protect them. I pray you'd bring them through. I pray you'd protect us all, that you might get the glory. We'll thank you for what you do, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. This, of course, is the parable of the Lord Jesus concerning the Pharisee and the publican. Now, I want you to remember who these two men are. Number one, you have the Pharisee. This is the beloved religious leader. He's looked up to, and he's revered by all. He looks religious, talks religious, and is religiously religious. He's considered by men as a spiritual leader to be upright and moral. The Apostle Paul, if you remember, was a Pharisee before his conversion to Christ. The other man is a publican. Publican is the despised tax collector. Publicans collected taxes for the Roman government, and they were viewed by the Jews as greedy and mean-spirited. They were corrupt and extorted funds above and beyond the Roman tax, which they pocketed themselves. And because of this, publicans experienced isolation from mainstream Jewish religious life. Matthew, if you remember, was a publican before his conversion to Christ. Now, I'm thankful for the universality of the gospel. John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen. I thank God for Romans 10:13 that says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Pharisee or publican? Republican. But wait a minute. I'm thankful for the whosoever's that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. But there are other whosoever's in the Bible as well. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What both Paul the Pharisee and Matthew the publican came to realize and to believe and to receive was the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world, and that eternal life comes only by Him. Luke wrote in chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's right. I'm thankful for 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, where God says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. God's will is that everyone be saved. However, God does not force His will upon anyone. He invites you to His will. It was not God's will that Adam disobey in the Garden of Eden. That was Adam's choice. And it's not God's will that you spend eternity in the lake of fire. That will be your choice. Because in love, God has provided a Savior. And in love, the Savior came and provided the only satisfactory payment for your sin, which was His shed blood, His life on the cross. He was buried, and He rose again the third day. Right. And it's up to each individual to receive or reject the Savior. And the consequences are eternal. Now, back to these two men in Luke chapter 18, the Pharisee and the publican. I see three things which I want to share this morning, and each point has to do with perspective. How do you look at yourself? How do you look at others? And how do you look at Christ? My first point this morning is this: looking at ourselves. In this parable, the Pharisee looks to himself. Look at verse 11. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Here he is looking at himself in verse 12. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. We see this Pharisee giving three personal eyes in this verse. This is the eye of pride. And it is reminiscent of three eyes that I read about in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, where this individual said of him, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. The person who said these three eyes was none other than Lucifer. And this is the fall of Lucifer, the cherub that covereth, to become Satan, the deceiver. This is the spirit of pride. Now, this Pharisee was proud of all that he was. And he was proud of all that he did. And he was going to make sure that God was reminded of it. Sometimes, if Christians are not careful, we begin to have an I attitude ourselves. Well, Lord, I do this, and I do that. And Lord, I am this, and I am that. And we lose sight of the fact of who we really are. Or more correctly, who and what we were before Jesus came into our lives as our Savior. Do you understand that there is something that we were before and something that we are now, and that Christ is the one who makes the difference? Before Jesus Christ, the Bible says we were unclean. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. The things that the Pharisee was so proud of. I, filthy rags. But now that we are in Christ, the Bible says we're cleansed. Revelations chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Here it comes. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Do you realize, dear Christian, that without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are still an unclean thing? And without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are still unrighteous? Before we knew Christ as our Savior, we were condemned. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But now that we have Christ, we are justified. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Do you see it? Before Christ, we're condemned. We're under the condemnation of sin. After Christ, he says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do you realize, dear Christian, that without the Lord Jesus Christ, you would still be condemned? Before we were saved, before we knew Christ as our Savior, we were weak. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Romans 7:18. Paul says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So in our unsaved condition, we are unclean, we are condemned, and we are weak. But in Christ, we are washed, we are cleansed, we are justified, there is no condemnation, and we are strong. Ephesians 3:16 says, strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. 2 Timothy 4:17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. Do you realize, dear Christian, that without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are still as weak in the flesh as ever you were? The big problem with looking to ourselves is pride. We become proud of our accomplishments as if we did them. We become proud of our attributes as if we gave them to ourselves. We become proud of our spirituality as if we produced it. When the reality is that we're just as unclean and we're just as condemned and just as weak as we ever were without Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Pharisee stood looking at himself. 2 Corinthians 10:18 says, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but who the Lord commendeth. So the Pharisee went into the temple of God. He went into the house of God and he beat upon his chest, not like the publican. He beat on himself like, look at me. Woo-wee, look at me. I am this and I am that and I do this and I do that. As if God didn't know. He's commending himself. You see, the problem with looking to yourself is that you are not the standard. Point number two, looking at others. The Pharisee had another problem. And the other problem was he was looking at others. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as who? Other men. I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Other men. Sometimes we're guilty of pumping up our pride by looking at others. Others, of course, whom we deem worse than ourselves. Others whom we think are probably beneath us or less deserving than we are. Oh, I'm a Pharisee. I'm not like this guy. I'm not like this publican over here. The Pharisee picked out someone who he thought he was better than, and he mentioned some sins which he had not committed himself and tried to justify himself in comparison to that man and those people and those sins. He said, well, Lord, I'm not an extortionist. Lord, I'm not unjust. Lord, I'm not an adulterer. And I'm surely not like a publican. Listen, we can all fill in the blanks, can't we? Where we can say, on the one hand, looking at ourselves, well, I've done this and I've done that and I am this and I am that. And while looking at others, we say, well, I haven't done that. I'm not like him. I'm not like her. Maybe not, but you still have your own sins and your own shortcomings. They may not be the same as someone else's, but they're still there nonetheless. We can all find a nice little list of things that we haven't done, and we can all find someone who is worse. But the reality is, without Christ, we all fall short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen to what John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to Christians. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Right. The Pharisee is saying, Lord, I'm not like those other people. I'm just. I don't have those sins. 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What others do or do not do, and what others are and are not, makes no difference as to what we are to do and what we are to be. Do you understand? Sometimes we're like Peter, who looked over after he was told what he was supposed to do. He looked over and said, well, and what shall this man do? And you know what the Lord said to him? What is that to thee? In other words, Jesus said, doesn't make any difference. That's none of your business. I've told you, Peter, what you're supposed to do and what's going to happen to you. Now, that's all you need to worry about. You don't need to worry about John, and you don't need to worry about these other guys. But aren't we like that sometimes? We're looking at others. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I won't have to answer for the publican, and I won't have to answer for the Pharisee. I'll just have to answer for me. And you just have to answer for you. You can't look at others and justify your sin by greater sin in their lives. And you can't look at yourself and justify a lack of service by looking at others who have a greater lack of service. Because you're just going to answer for you and they're going to answer for them. The problem with looking at others is it results in vanity. Do you see how empty it is? When we look at ourselves, it makes us and it makes us proud. When we look at others, it makes us vain because we think we're better. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. You see, we have a limited perspective, don't we? If we're not careful, we can fall into complacency and apathy when we compare ourselves to others because we develop a false sense of pride which leads to vanity, an empty sense of superiority. You see, we don't look to ourselves because we're not the standard. And we don't look to others because they're not the standard. Which brings me to point number three, looking at Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Here it is, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want you to notice it says looking unto Jesus. It says there's a great cloud of witnesses. We're not looking at the... He didn't say looking unto the witnesses. You know why? Because the witnesses aren't the standard. It says looking unto Jesus. Why? Because he's the standard. He's the perfect one. He's the sinless one. The Pharisee, inappropriately, was looking at himself. And then he inappropriately looked at others when he should have been like the publican who was looking unto God. I'm not the standard. You're not the standard. The Lord Jesus is the standard. Let me say this. Paul, the apostle, is not the standard. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says this. He writes this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Did you catch it? He didn't say, "Of whom I was chief," did he? He said, "Of whom I am chief." Right. Paul realized that he was a sinner saved by grace. Paul never lost sight of how he was what he was and how he did what he did. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." That's a little different than the Pharisee's attitude, isn't it? Paul said, "Yeah, I've done some stuff. And yeah, I've been a preacher, and I've seen people saved, and I've started churches, and I've traveled all over the world preaching the gospel, but it's not me. It's Christ in me."
That's right.
Paul said, "I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't have Christ in me. I wouldn't be living like this if I wasn't saved. I wouldn't be the man I am if it wasn't for Christ. And I wouldn't be living the way I live if it wasn't for Christ."
Amen.
Why, Paul? Because I'm still a sinner. And it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. Do you see, Christian? It's not us. It's him. Peter's not the standard. We read in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul said this, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed." You know what? Peter was a sinner too. And he was wrong in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. And Paul had to correct him. You see, they are examples, but they are not the standard. The Lord Jesus Christ is the standard. And we all fall short when we're looking at the standard. Matter of fact, that's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ, is because we do fall short. You see, when we look at ourselves, it produces pride. When we look at others, it produces vanity. But when we look to Jesus, it produces humility. Look at verse 14. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So the Pharisee went into the temple, and he said, Lord, aren't you glad you got me? I mean, look at me, man. I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't go there, and I don't go there, and I do this, and I do that. And you know what God did with him? He pushed him down. And this poor publican went in there. Everybody hated the publican. And he went in there, and he just wouldn't even look up to God. He was so ashamed of himself. He said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God said, come on, we'll lift you up. You know why? Because the publican thought he was doing it. I mean, the Pharisee thought he was doing it. The publican knew God would have to do it. You see, we all fall short. That's why we need a Savior. Now, here's the thing. The unsaved fall short and have no help. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2:12 that they are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What a place to be. And all of us in this room who are saved, at one time, we were without hope and without God in the world. What a scary thing to think about. So if you're here today and you're not saved, that's you. You're without hope and without God in this world. But when a saved person falls short, we have an advocate. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sin. Aren't you glad for the advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ? The sinner falls short, and there's no one to help him. There's nothing he can do. But when the Christian falls short, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. The great apostle put it this way, 2 Corinthians 2:10, for when I am weak, then am I strong. What's he saying? He's saying, when there is less of me and more of Christ, there is less weakness and more strength. You get that? When there's less of me and more of Christ, there's less weakness and more strength. I want to ask you this morning, dear sinner, who are you looking to for salvation? To yourself? To your good works? To your religious deeds? I want to ask you, dear Christian, who are you looking to for your sanctification? For your power? For your enabling? Yourself? Or to Jesus? And I ask you all, who's the standard? Not you, not someone else. It's Jesus. That's why we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed, please, and our eyes are closed. Let me ask you, dear Christian, this morning, have you lost sight of what you really are without Jesus, the Christ? Have you lost sight of what you were before Jesus took you in and cleansed you and justified you and strengthened you? Have you taken credit for what he's done? Have you taken credit for what he's made? Have you mistakenly seen your righteousness or spirituality as something you have because of yourself? Have you looked at others to pump up your own spiritual ego and give yourself a false sense of superiority? Are you proud of the Christian you are, as if it's because of you? Be careful about looking down your nose at other Christians whom you deem to be less than yourself. Because that's what the Pharisee did. And he was wrong. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never been saved. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 5:32. He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You see, people who are self-righteous think they do not need to repent, and therefore they perish. But those who know that they are sinners are willing to repent and receive the gift of eternal life. This is how Paul saw it as he wrote of his own relationship with Christ. He said, "To be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." He said, not having mine own righteousness. Remember, our own righteousness is filthy rags. But he wanted the righteousness which is of God by faith in Christ. Because not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But you can be saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." And Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." My friend, you might be religious, but lost. You might be what men call a good person, but not by works of righteousness which we have done. You're still lost. Perhaps today you'd like to be saved. Perhaps today you would like to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You'd like to call upon the name of the Lord, and you would like to ask him to forgive your sins and save your soul right there in your seat. Say, "Preacher, that's me." Would you lift your hand up? Wherever you are, just lift your hand up and say, "Preacher, I'm here this morning. I've never been saved, but I need to be saved. And I want to ask Jesus right now, in the privacy of my own heart and mind, I want to ask him to be my Savior, to forgive my sins and save my soul and give me the gift of eternal life." Anybody like that here, just lift your hand up. Let me see it. We're just going to pray. No one else is looking around. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for this parable that Jesus gave to those who trust in themselves, to those who look to others to justify themselves, and for this man who looked to God. And help us, my Lord, as Christians, not to be taking the credit or to be proud for what you have made us and what you have done through us, but to give you all the glory. Help us to never forget what we were before Jesus came. And help us to never look at others and justify our own selves, thinking ourselves superior. For we know not what is in the heart of someone else. This Pharisee judged this publican, but the publican was the one who was justified. Help us, Lord, to look unto Jesus. Help us to see him as the standard. And help us to trust him, even as Christians, to continue and to live for God. I ask your blessing on the invitation, that Father, you might bless it as only you can. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, "Pass Me Not." Perhaps today, dear Christian, you need to come and talk to the Lord. Perhaps you've forgotten where you were when Jesus found you. Perhaps you've forgotten what you were when Jesus found you. Perhaps you've been taking some of the credit or thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. He knows. Perhaps you've been looking at others and saying, well, I'm better than them. That's not the standard. Maybe you need to come and talk to the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you've never been born again, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'd like to talk to you about it. All right, you come and meet me at the front. We'll have somebody talk to you about how you can be saved and born again and a child of God going to heaven. You come and see me, would you? As we sing, number 586.